Canting your rifle, pistol grips, and brass catchers this week on Mail Call Mondays. Mail Call Mondays is sponsored by Modular Driven Technologies. If you need a chassis for your precision rifle system, check out mdttac.com. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, a show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we're going to start out with a question from our brand new Patreon page. If you guys don't know what Patreon is, it's a community that allows patrons like you to support creators like us and help us bear some of the burden that is resulting from producing a show like this. And in return, you get some kind of cool perks. You get to see a little bit inside to what we do and some other things. So if you're interested in Patreon, then go ahead and check it out at patreon.com/8541tactical. And see what we're all about. Now, on Patreon, Ricardo asks, assuming you're shooting a 1 to 2 MOA size target, I've been wondering at what distance cant on a rifle will start to have significant effect on the point of impact. Also, good to be able to finally support the sight. Looking forward to more good stuff down the road. Well, Ricardo, thank you very much again for supporting us on Patreon. Now, to answer your question, cant actually starts to affect the point of impact almost immediately. The various different calculations that I've seen and I've programmed in say that you can experience about a half a minute of angle of deviation from your point of aim with every degree of cant. So if you have 1 degree of cant to the left on your rifle, then your shot group will move approximately a half minute of angle to the left and down a little bit from where your normal point of impact would be if your rifle was completely level. So at 100 yards, you should still see a little bit of deviation from that cant. Now, obviously, since it's only a half MOA, you have to be a sub-half MOA shooter to be able to experience the deviation at, you know, 100 yards. But if you move this all the way out to 1,000 yards, now you're starting to get some significant deviation. If you get an extreme cant, you could miss a complete target board at 1,000 yards. So a complete 6-foot by 6-foot target, you can miss the whole thing at 1,000 yards if you have your rifle significantly canted. So the goal is to maintain as minimal a cant as possible. You want to make sure that that vertical stadia line on your crosshair is as plumb as you can possibly get it. And now there are a ton of different devices out there to help you with this. There are levels like the one that we have here that actually mount on your scope tube. There are levels built into the rifle like we have in the receiver of the Mega Arms Ma-10 Megalithic here that pop out to the side. There are all kinds of different devices, ones that swing out, etc. But the thing that you really, really need to be careful on that is that whatever device you're using is set to be plumb to the reticle in the scope, and that the reticle in the scope, if you have a high quality scope, should be tracking true to the actual turret. And you can check that by doing a tall target test where you hold the same point aim at the bottom of the target and you dial up and shoot and dial up and shoot, and those shots should track a straight plumb line on the target. You shouldn't have a track out. So that will tell you if everything is mechanically set. Now, I have argued before on if all these mechanical means or electronic levels or bubble levels, etc., if those are all really needed for long range shooting. And I would argue that's going to be a personal thing. We have shot long-range precision rifles for a long time before people started slapping bubble levels on them, and we were still hitting long-range targets. I've shot out 2,000-plus yards without a level strapped on my rifle to make sure that I'm shooting plumb. Now, obviously, the degree of accuracy that you require is going to determine if you really, really need one of these bubble levels or not. If you have to be absolutely dead on with first round hits at extended long range, then a bubble level is going to be a cheap option. You don't have to go with these top-end $100 plus bubble levels. There are some rather inexpensive ones out there, but the thing is, you want to make sure that it's going to be worthwhile in the environments that you shoot in. You don't want your bubble level freezing up. You want to make sure it's robust. You don't want to, you know, scrape your rifle against a barricade and rip your level off. And you want to make sure that it's not obtrusive. It's not really hanging off the side of the rifle to get caught on things. That's why I really like the one that Mega Arms has put in the chassis here, that it just simply pops out when you need it. You can put it back in when you don't. And even when it's fully deployed, it's still doesn't stick out further than the turrets on the scope. So it's unlikely that I'm going to rake it against something and tear it off. One thing that I will caution you on is be careful about getting the bubble levels that start to get really close to your face. It makes it very difficult to focus on the level while you are looking through the scope. And if you have to, if you have a level anywhere that you have to actually break a position on the rifle to look at the level, that's a no-go, because when you break position to look at the level, you may induce cant in the rifle one way or the other. You may look at the level and you may do whatever tweaks you need to get the rifle leveled out, and then when you move back to look in the scope, you may induce cant into the rifle again. So it's really something you want to be able to see while you are on the gun, ready to press the trigger, and just glance at it as verification. I do fairly well with making sure that my horizontal crosshair is level with the environment. Now, I may be shooting on the side of a hill, I may be shooting with some things that are slanting out there, mountains in the background, etc. I've still been fairly good at making sure my crosshairs are level to the world, because I have two bubble levels on either side of my head inside these fleshy flaps that we call ears. Now, not everybody is built the same. Mine seem to work okay, but I know there are a lot of guys out there that can't hang a picture straight without throwing a level on it. If you're one of those guys, then you may want to put a bubble level on your precision rifle. So again, we're all individuals. We have differing abilities. We have different degrees of sensitivity to those kind of things. You know, it may be cheap insurance. And it also may be something that if you are new to precision rifle shooting, having a level just to tell you, yes, the rifle is plumb and it's not something that you're feeling weird. You don't feel the buttstock feels strange in your shoulder pocket, so you're tilting it one way or the other. It's nice to be able to get that dialed out. Also, if you're going to go to the trouble of adjusting your butt pad to accommodate for a cant in your shoulder pocket one way or the other, a level may be a good thing to make sure that you're getting everything dialed in perfectly. So cant affects you almost immediately, and it is something that you really want to try to avoid, because I can't really foresee a situation where you would intentionally put cant into the system. Most of the time we are going to be able to see through the barricade or through the port, etc. We're not going to have to put an extreme cant on the rifle to see through it. The only time when cant may be absolutely required is if you're shooting a precision rifle stage where you have to put your rifle on a 90-degree cant, and that's a totally different shooting situation that we'll cover at another point. Our next question comes from Duncan, and Duncan asks, what's your favorite M4-based grip to be used on a precision-compatible rifle? Well, Duncan, the grip that I have in front of me, the Ergo Tactical Deluxe, has really been, up to this point, my favorite precision rifle grip if I need an AR-type grip on the rifle. I've talked about this grip a little bit before. There are really two flavors that it comes in. This is the version that has the duckbill on it. They also have what they call a flat-top Tactical Deluxe that does not have the duckbill. So if you have a chassis system that comes flat behind the grip mounting surface, then you'll want to get the flat top. I have that on some other chassis systems that we have here. The Kadex came with the flat top version. Some of the different XLR chassis systems come with the flat top version. And I really, really like that grip. The palm swells on it are really nice. They fill my hand about perfectly. They do have finger grooves on the front, which I could do without in this situation, but they don't really seem to get in the way. It has a really nice pebbled textured finish, and it is rubber overmolded. So it's got, for me, just the right amount of stick to it. I don't have to worry about my hands slipping on it when it gets wet. It seems to stick fairly well, but it's not so sticky that it picks up all kinds of nastiness out in the field. It is hollow on the bottom. I haven't found a good plug to plug that. So if you're one of these guys that likes to put stuff in your grip, this may not be the best choice, but it really doesn't matter for me. I usually carry a backpack in the field, so I'll have any spare parts, tools, all that junk in my pack. I don't need to actually put it in the grip. It has two little protrusions here that come up on either side of the trigger guard, and that seems to work really well for the transition into the trigger guard. If you have a standard AR that has the pins there, then these cover the pins. So that if you have a pin or a ragged pinhole, you don't have to worry about tearing up your fingers. So overall, it works really well. I've been a great big huge fan of it. We're not endorsed by Ergo. We haven't been provided anything free of charge at this point. These grips have either come on rifles or I purchased them to go on rifles, and they just work fairly well for me. So I definitely suggest you check that out. But the unfortunate thing is different shooters may have different hand sizes, may have different preferences. So it's not going to work for everybody. If you have smaller hands, then the Ergo Deluxe may not be the best choice. But the beautiful thing about precision rifles is we don't always have to wrap our hand all the way around the grip. Very often with this grip, I'm floating my thumb same side, and having this nice thick palm swell allows me to really get my hand placed in the same position every time. I'm a really big fan. It's a really great overall grip, and we'll leave a link of where you can check these grips out down below. Our next question comes from Jeffrey, and Jeffrey asks, have you tried or would you recommend using a brass catcher on a bolt action gun for competition? I don't mean to seem cheap, but Lapua brass ain't cheap. Love Mail Call Monday. Keep it up. Well, Jeffrey, I definitely feel your pain. I am one of these guys that I like to come back from matches with every single piece of brass that I left with. Oftentimes, I probably spend a little bit too much time trying to find my brass. I spend too much time marking my brass before I go to a match. So I actually have thought about using a brass catcher on a bolt gun before. Obviously, the gun in front of me is a semi-automatic rifle, and I've got this Tactical Brass Recovery Brass Catcher. TBR was nice enough to send this out to us for us to try. And this, at this point, is my favorite brass catcher that I have used. They are pricey, but the details that have gone into this thing are really, really cool. It actually has a cloth baffle inside of it. So when your cases kick out, they hit the baffle, they roll down, and they are somewhat trapped inside the bag. So if you're running along, you don't have to worry about your cases bouncing up and jamming against the ejection port or any of that nonsense. So it is a really, really cool setup. Plus, it kind of flips to the side, so if you need to flip it open to show clear at the end of a stage, you don't have to remove it, you just flip it out and it goes to the side. Now, this version of the Tactical Brass Recovery Brass Catcher utilizes a Picatinny rail on the side of the receiver. So if you are running a chassis system where you can mount a rail to the side on the forend in a position general to where I have this one here, then something like this would probably work on a bolt gun. You just want to make sure that you get it eyeballed in and you make sure that you get that over the port to where you're not going to have any issues. I would recommend something like this or something that you can quickly remove because very often if you are shooting in a match, they're going to want to verify that the chamber is clear before you come off the stage, and they don't want you to sit there while you take your gun apart. There also may be situations where you need to hand load something really quickly. On bolt guns, you know, a lot of times you're only running 10 round magazines, and you may have a stage where you have to shoot 11 rounds or 12 rounds, and it may not be a good idea to go through a full mag change. It may be just quicker to rip some rounds out of a 2-round holder and throw them in. And in that case, you would want to be able to flip the brass catcher to the side. It's also just a nice thing if you need to clear a jam. So I would definitely look into something like this. If you have to rail mount it on the top, they do make some options that rail mount, but a lot of them are forward rail mount. So if you want to mount it on a standard scope rail when you're using a regular stock, then check into something like the Caldwell Brass Catcher. We've talked about that a little bit before, and I'll leave a link for it down below. The Caldwell Brass Catcher is not the highest quality. Caldwell sent one out for us to try out, and we burned a bunch of holes in the mesh webbing on it. I actually had to go in and do some rigger's tape repair on the frame inside so that my brass cases weren't actually hitting it. Now, with a bolt gun, your brass isn't going to come out anywhere near as hot as they do on a gas gun, so you may not have that problem. They do come with little rails that you can mount on your scope rail, but you may run into clearance problems if your scope is mounted low on a bolt gun. So it's definitely something I've considered. I just haven't sat down and got things set up. It may be something where I end up attaching a rail on the Accuracy International AE Mark II so that I can run this brass catcher on the side of that rifle. I would really like to be able to just come off a stage and walk away knowing my brass is already in the bag, than have to go climb around an old rusty truck or underneath barrels or in rocks and try to recover my expensive match prep brass. It's not about being cheap. It's about being frugal, and it's about conserving your energy and your time that you've already used to prep those things. So don't feel bad about that. Most of us are trying to find out a way to walk away with all the brass that we started with. But I won't sacrifice a match just to keep my brass. If I've got to lose some brass to clean a stage, then so be it. That's the cost of doing business, and I'll replace the brass after the match. So I hope that gives you some ideas on what you can look at to mount a brass catcher to your bolt gun. That's all for this Mail Call Mondays. Thank you guys for sending in your questions. For those of you who sent us questions on Patreon, thank you again for your support. If you've got a question that you'd like to have answered on Mail Call Mondays, you can send it to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com or drop it in the comment section below if you're watching us on YouTube, or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you're listening to us on podcast, thank you very much. You guys requested it. We answered. We are now available on iTunes or wherever else you may check out your podcast. And until next time, get out and shoot.